We're going to read Luke 11, 1 through 13, continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer that he gave his disciples. We're going to focus today on give us each day our daily bread, but let's read the whole context. So read with me in Luke 11, starting in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you that you tell us to call you Father, Daddy. And we can do that because of Jesus, because his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness that is credited to our account, the way he's purchased us, we can call you Father, and we thank you. Thank you for letting us be your children. We thank you that you not only care about all of our needs that we have for life with you spiritually, you not only care about your kingdom coming through our lives, but you also care about our daily bread. Thank you that you mercifully and graciously give us what we need to live our lives before you, to live our lives on this earth. We ask you today that you'd teach us, show us once again that you are the source. Teach us to look to you daily for our provision physically. Help us to see your gracious heart. Help us to worship you and to know you through thanksgiving and all the things you give us, all the good gifts. And God, when there's a lack of abundance, when there is suffering, when there is great need, help us to trust your hand, to wait on you, to look to you. I pray for each person here in this room who is waiting on you for help with physical needs, with ailments, with sickness, with job lack, with different problems going on. I pray that you would help each of them to look to you today. God, help all of us who are tempted to take for granted your gifts and to be thankless and greedy and idolatrous with your gifts you give us. Help us to today repent of that and see your goodness and that all good things come from your hand. Help us to worship you and thank you. God, we pray that our city would be filled with the knowledge of you, that people would speak your word all around our city. We pray for our sister churches, for like-minded churches like Indian Trail Church. Pray that you'd help the elders there to shepherd the people and proclaim your word there in that part of the city. We pray for Christ Our Hope Bible Church. You'd help the elders there. We pray for other churches all around our city that you would be strengthening your people today to look to you and to live for you. And we pray right now that you would speak to us by your spirit through your word. We pray because of you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I really enjoy a nice piece of meat grilled over a wood fire. It doesn't matter if it's rabbit, some kind of pig, some kind of meat from a cow. I really enjoy some home-baked bread with fresh butter just right out of the oven. Or a fresh tossed salad drenched in just the right amount of delicious dressing. Or maybe a homemade pie or cake that just melts in your mouth with some nice creamy ice cream alongside. Maybe a good cup of coffee beside it. What do you enjoy eating? These things that we each enjoy are gifts from God that teach us that he's good. They're from his hand. They show us his goodness. And if we move beyond food to other ways that we enjoy God's love practically, think about the last time you watched a beautiful sunset or sunrise, maybe on a lake or the ocean, those beautiful colors of orange and yellow and red, just filling the sky. Think about the last time you held a child in your arms. See God's goodness to you in that moment. Think about the last time you went on a walk or a hike and you saw God's kindness in his beautiful creation. Maybe a beautiful bird you see flying, or the warm summer evening that you might have felt on your skin. In so many ways, God is giving us every good thing we need, showing us that he's our provider. He's a good father. He's so generous. He richly provides us with everything we need to live in his kingdom as his children. He is the source. Remember in Genesis 1, he calls Adam and Eve, or he creates Adam and Eve in his image, and he says that they're gonna rule under his rule as his sons and daughters. They're gonna exercise his rule. And what does he say in verse 29 and verse 30 of Genesis 1? I'm giving you every green thing for food, all the fruit of the trees for food. He provides for them. You see his kingdom and his provision hand in hand. He's a good king who shares his needs, shares what his people need. He gives them what they need. He's concerned about what they need. Dan read in Psalm 104 already how God provides every living thing from the abundance of what he has in the sea and in the earth. He provides what we need. Listen to Psalm 145, verse 13. We see his kingdom, and then we see it following his provision. Psalm 145, verse 13, he says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. We see that God, the King of the universe, richly provides all his creatures with what they need. And he wants you and I, as his sons and daughters, as his children, to see from this petition, give us each day our daily bread, that he is the source. He wants to richly provide us with what we need. This is the pattern of praying that the Lord gives us. As we pray, our Father in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will, he also teaches us to pray, give us each day our daily bread, because he wants us to see and remember that he provides from his hand what we need. It's part of living in his kingdom. The path that the Lord gives us in his prayer is a path of thankful daily dependence on him. And it's so easy, instead of walking on that path of thankful daily dependence, to fall off on this side into anxiety. Where will my need come from? Where will the provision of health or food or job come from? Or to fall off on this side, is where I often fall off, and just take it for granted. And we worship the good things God gives us instead of God. We just think it's because of our greatness that we have these things. We make them ultimate, and we're greedy. It's so easy to be living like that, to fall off the path. My wife and our kids, we lived in the Canary Islands in Tenerife for almost 4 years with Dave and Lois Belich and Natalie Woodman. And there were some many, many beautiful paths on that island, roads. And there's one particular area on the top of the island. The island looks like a duck. And at the head of the island, there's this area that's like a beautiful microclimate with these small deciduous trees, like a little rainforest. And there's these roads that go along the top part of that area. And on either side, you can see the ocean. And at the end of the path, it's a beautiful path. You see God's creation, the ocean. You see these beautiful trees and the beaches and the rocks. But on some parts of the road, it's very narrow. And if you go off on one side, you're gonna go down and go into the ocean or fall off in some rocks. And on the other side, you're gonna also fall off and have trouble. There's many other parts of the island where on one side you fall off to your death at a cliff, the other side is a big rock. So there's all these narrow paths, and there's the danger of falling off on one side or going off on the other side. And you don't want either one of them. If you're on the path, it's a wonderful experience. But if you go off the path, not good. You're gonna have trouble. You're gonna tumble. You're gonna get smashed. There'll be problems. And life is like that. There's this path of daily dependence on the Lord, thankful dependence, looking to him as our father, as our provider. And it's so easy to go off on this detour and be taking it for granted, being idolatrous with what God gives us, or being on this side and being anxious. How do we live in the middle on that path with daily thankful dependence on the Lord? Our Lord Jesus gives us here in this text, in Luke 11:3, the way we can walk in that path of thankful dependence. He gives us this petition, give us each day our daily bread. Praying this prayer reminds us that God is the source of all we need. When you're living in abundance, we need to be praying, give us each day our daily bread. And it's hard to remember to do that. I wanna encourage you, I wanna challenge you, make this part of your daily praying. When you're over here in anxiety and wonder, you're often praying, give us this day our daily bread, but are we trusting his good hand and his kindness to us? And so we see in this passage, in this petition, that God is a good and holy Father who loves to answer the prayers of his people for daily provision. God is a good and holy Father devoted to his people, and he loves to answer the prayers of his people for daily provision. I want to challenge you, God is not disinterested in your daily physical needs. Yes, he cares about his kingdom and his will and his name, but it's not disconnected from your daily provision, from the job you work, from the health that you need and enjoy or don't enjoy. It's all connected. And so he wants us to see that he is the source. So let's look at the verse. Luke 11, verse 3. He says, give us each day our daily bread. We see first in the word give. The prayer is asking our good and holy Father to give. We're looking to him as the source. He is our source of all life, both physical and spiritual. What is bread? What is it he's teaching us to ask for? It's all that we need for a physical life, all that is necessary. Do we see God as the source? In Genesis 1, he speaks and he's the source of all creation. Everything gets laid out in beautiful order as God speaks. He's the source of life. And we see at each stage of his reign, of his kingdom, he is providing for his people. He provides for Adam and Eve. Wonderful fruit that I'm sure is way better than the fruit we have now. He provides for Noah. Enter bacon into the scene. Or maybe not bacon, but enter other animals into the scene. He provides for his people wonderful good things. In the wilderness, he provides the Israelites with manna that tastes like honey. It's delicious. He provides them with quail. He provides the Israelites with a land full of milk and honey, an amazing, rich, abundant land. He provides for us in the church age now in a unique way. And eventually he'll provide in the millennial kingdom and in the new heavens and the new earth. He's always a good and loving Father committed to caring for his people's needs. And he wants us to see that in his petition. That's why he says give. He's not only concerned with giving us knowledge of himself, forgiveness, grace, mercy, strength to obey him. He's also concerned with giving us what we need to live life now. And when he takes us from this life, he's still providing for us. In the next phase, he's going to be providing for us. Just a different container and different address, but he's providing for us still. He wants us to depend on him as our source for all life. Jesus says in this verse, give. And he uses words like each day. That word give is a present tense, like give. Give me continually. I need give. He's encouraging them to give, to ask God to give us continually. It's not just a one-time thing like you show up once every 6 months at your dentist and ask them to give you clean teeth. Or you go to the grocery store once every 2 weeks and collect your food. This is a daily giving over and over. We see that in the context in verses 5 through 13 of Luke 11. This persistence he teaches us to have, this promise of asking and receiving, the fact that God gives good gifts to those who ask him. He wants us to continually go to him. It's not like seeing your primary care physician where you go once every 2 years. He wants us to go to him continually. We're not like camels or cactus that can just fill up every now and then, or a snake. He made us to need 3 times a day or more food, provision, water. And that's because he wants that continual relationship with us. Give reminds us that God is the source, even when we have freezers and savings. How is God the source when your freezer and your other freezer and your third freezer are all full of food from Costco or wherever you got a good deal? How is God the source when your savings account and your other savings account and your retirement fund are all abundant? He's still the source. Abundance is not a new concept. Joseph had abundance as he stored up food. Jesus told parables about people building extra barns. They had abundance. The point is that even when we have abundance in savings or freezers, it's God's hand that provided us those things. God gave us the job. He gave us the capacities to work that job. He gives us a government and a society where there's peace and there's an ability to work and flourish and have things. He's holding that bank system together. And talk to someone who lived in the 1920s and you see that doesn't have to stay together. That can fall apart. He's the one who's causing there not to be a huge natural disaster that destroys all that savings and freezer and everything. He's the one that's preventing weapons of mass destruction, holding them at bay so that we're not getting blown up or everything getting destroyed and we're going back to a pre-electric stage. He's the one keeping the weather cycle going. He's the one making photosynthesis work. He's the one providing for the animals that we eat. He's the one caring for every single aspect of this. Even though he uses us and we work hard and there's ingenuity and creativity at work, it's God providing. There's a million ways that food in your freezer could have not gotten there. There's a million ways that food in your freezer could be ruined and be gone. It's from God's hand. And so we need to see that even if you have a freezer full and you have a savings full, it's God that's providing for his people if we have anything. We don't see it the same way that farmers do when we go to Yokes or Rosars, right? It's a little different when you're a farmer and you cultivate and you sow and you watch for the rain and you harvest. We just go to Yokes and it's just there or wherever you go. But we know that it's still from God's hand. The same realities are true. He is dependent. We're dependent on him every day for food, safety, jobs, drink, health. What do we see about God as he gives to us? We see that he's the source of all things. He sustains all things by the word of his power. Colossians 1:17 says that Jesus sustains all things by the word of his power. If he stops doing that, the orbit gets thrown off and the earth is too far from the sun and everything freezes, or it gets too close and everything burns up. The processes in our bodies stop working. He is sustaining it all by his hand. There's not one single moment that we are not being sustained by Christ holding all things together by the word of his power. He is the source of our life and breath every day. What is he showing us in this? As he says, give us each day our daily bread, he's showing us that he is good. He's showing us his goodness. He didn't make the food bland. He didn't make everything colorless. He made it amazing. He gives Noah animals to eat. He gives Adam and Eve fruit to enjoy. He gives them things that are delicious, not just to the eyes and the sight, but to the taste. Think of all the spices, all the curries, all the garlic, all the different things, the flavors that the earth is full of. There's such a wealth of variety and beauty in God's creation. And this is all showing us that he's good. How refreshing is that refreshing cold drink of water or whatever you're drinking? How beautiful his creation is. How delightful it is to be loved and to love, whether in friendship or family or marriage or parenting. God is so good to us. He's showing us 3+ times a day, I'm good. He's showing us he's a good and holy father. As you sipped that coffee this morning or chewed that oatmeal or whatever it was that you did today or that you're gonna do later, think, God, you are good. This tastes like it does because you're good. This is from your hand and it shows me your goodness. Justin Early in The Common Rule, Habits of Purpose for an Age of Distraction says, we were created to hunger because we were made to feast on God's generosity. Let me say it again. We were created to hunger because we were made to feast on God's generosity. He wants us to feast on his generosity, to see how amazing he is. That's his goal in giving us all these good gifts from his hand. First of all, himself. Nothing is greater than him and the knowledge of him through Christ. But every other good gift that he gives along with Christ is to show us his goodness. G.I. Packer says in his book, Praying the Lord's Prayer, the Bible opposes all long-faced asceticism or severity of the body by saying that if you enjoy health, good appetite, physical agility in marriage in the sense that you have been given them, you should enjoy them in the further sense of delighting in them. Such delight is not the whole, but part of our duty and our service of God. For without it, without that delight, we are being simply ungrateful for good gifts. As Screwtape said in C.S. Lewis's book, truly, he said this with disgust, God is a hedonist at heart. God values pleasure, and it is his pleasure to give pleasure. Well did some rabbis teach us at the judgment, that at the judgment God will hold against us every pleasure that he offered us that we neglected. Do we yet know how to enjoy ourselves? Yes, physically too, to the glory of God, end quote. God wants us to delight in the good gifts he gives us, to delight in them, and not in them as the ultimate thing, but in them as a way to see who he is. Listen to Jared Gilcher's sermons on Ecclesiastes. You hear that in Ecclesiastes. God wants us to know him and delight in him through the good things he provides us. Listen to the traditional prayer that the Jews prayed. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Every time they would pray that, they were rehearsing that God gives us because he's good. He provides for us that what we need. And all this should implies and requires thankfulness. So we look to God as our source and we see his goodness and then we're thankful. He wants us to be thankful to him because of what he's given us. What is the essence of rebellion against God and idolatry in Romans 1? They did not give God thanks. Thanksgiving should be the natural response. When we pray, give us each day our daily bread, we are saying, God, I depend on you. And then we are thankful because we know that he's giving us what we need, even if it's not what we want. And it's often not what we wanted exactly, but he gives us good gifts so that we can know him. What is God teaching us? He's teaching us that he wants to care for our physical, practical needs. But it's in the context of the prayer where he says, our Father in heaven, relationship with God as our Father who's in heaven, your kingdom come, or hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. He wants us to pray, give us each day our daily bread in light of our desire that his name be honored, in light of our desire that he have his kingdom come in our lives and his will be done. We ask him to give us what we need so we can honor his name. We ask him to give us what we need so we can live out his kingdom, his rule in our lives. We can build up his church. In these mundane tasks that we do, it all relates back to God wanting to bring about his kingdom and his rule in our lives. God cares for us. He's a good and holy father, and he cares for all of our needs. And he wants to be involved in it. He wants to be involved in the little things like your parking spaces and your strength that you need to focus at work. He wants to be involved in you having that next meal to eat. He's involved in all those things. And as we think about the Lord's Prayer that he gave the disciples, we see in the first part, our Father in heaven. He's our Father. As much as a good father or a good mother on earth now will provide for their kids' physical needs, how much more is our Father in heaven good? He will provide us with what we need to know him, to live for him. And then it says he's in heaven. Remember that he has the cattle on the thousand hills. He's rich in all good things, and every good gift and perfect gift comes from him. He has all the resources. He's not lacking. He's not going to come up short. He has what he needs. So we pursue, we ask him to give us this day our daily bread because we know that he's our Father in heaven. And we want his name to be honored. We want people to see how good he is. So we give him thanks as he provides. We want his kingdom to come. We want to live as his worshipers and ministers and missionaries. And so we ask him to provide us what we need physically so we can do that. And sometimes we'd love to have the strength to run a marathon and honor God, and he gives us the strength to hobble into the hospital and honor him there, right? Sometimes we'd love to have the abundance to invite 100 people over to feed them a meal, and he gives us the honor of honoring his name and living for him with thankfulness and very little. God is good, and he wants his name, his kingdom, and his will to shape our request for daily bread. As we have hearts that are enthralled with our king and his honor, we come to him and ask for our daily needs, not so we can be so comfortable that we forget about him and we can have so much that we just start loving the stuff without him, but so we can have enough to live for him and for his kingdom. When I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of extra money. I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my dad delivered newspapers, which wasn't a very lucrative industry. And so we had enough. We never lacked. God gave us our daily bread. But we always had that need of, how is this bill going to get paid? How is that thing going to be provided? And that kept us depending on God. We would have liked to have more, and I think that would have led us to really worship those things, and God kept us dependent and humble in that way. And some of you may be living in that same situation. Some of you maybe have abundance, but God wants to give you grace in that abundance to see that it's from his hand and to live for him, to do good, to be generous, to live for his kingdom. So whether you have little or abundance, God is our provider, and he wants you to look to him. Give us each day our daily bread. We look to him. Some of you are without a job right now. You're looking to God to provide you with a job, and I encourage you, trust him. He does have a plan for you, and he's working out that plan. And right now, he's giving you the grace to live each day without that job. And you can trust him to provide that when it's his time. And in the meantime, let us care for you. Give us. It's a us, right? We want to care for each other through the care fund and other ways. Some of you are suffering with chronic pain or some kind of illness, or maybe someone you love has cancer or Alzheimer's or dementia. He wants to give you the daily bread you need to get through that. And maybe that's through healing, through medicine and doctors. Maybe it's through his hand just healing you. Maybe it's through giving you grace to suffer. But God wants to give you that daily bread that you need in the midst of that sickness. He's the source of ultimate healing. In the future, when Christ returns, he will bring perfect and complete healing to all of his children one day. We can trust him, even when the answer to our prayers is not what we'd like it to be. I might like him to save my child, but maybe he wants to give me the grace to love my child as he rebels against him. I might like to see my friend get healed, but he might want to give my friend a closer walk with him through that sickness. I might like to see my brother or sister get a new job, but maybe he wants to sustain him as he provides for him some other way. We can know that whatever God does, he's good. The next word in the verse says, give us. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us. It's not, none of this prayer is about just me. It's about us as God's people, as his church, as his family. He wants us to think about each other as we pray this prayer. Thinking about, how does my brother or sister, what do they need? Asking God to provide for them as well. Looking to him to provide for all of us. So sometimes he gives me extra to share with what you need. And sometimes he gives you extra to share with me so that I have what I need. And we have our care fund is one practical way we do that. And your growth groups, many of you are meeting each other's needs. You're caring for each other, making meals, shoveling snow, meeting each other's practical needs. You're doing this us. Give us each day our daily bread. The meal that we're having with some of the growth groups after the service is another example of give us. We see God providing for us together. With each of these requests, there's an implication of our involvement in answering the prayer request, right? Hallowed be your name and hallow in my life first. Bring honor to your name through my life, right? Your kingdom come and may it come in my life first, and may I submit to your rule fully. And the same thing with this, give us each day our daily bread. There's an implication that I'm involved in this. I'm not just laying on the couch, give me my daily bread, and I'm just kind of mailing it in, right? I'm looking for a job. I'm seeking to work, like 2 Thessalonians says. We're involved in this prayer request, and God uses our efforts and works in us to answer it. The next part says, give us each day. The petition is about daily bread. The point is, God wants you to serve and live for him in his kingdom, and he wants to provide today what you need. He doesn't give you necessarily a massive amount to forget about him and go on forever without him. He wants you to go to him daily, spiritually, yes, but also physically. Like he says in Matthew 6:34, he gives us each day enough trouble for itself, right? We can go to him each day for today. Why is this? He wants the relationship, right? If I give my kid a bag of Mountain House, you know, instant meals and some water gallons and say, go off for a few weeks in the woods, have a good time, the relationship isn't gonna be very close during those few weeks, right? He's gonna be doing his own thing. God doesn't give us a bag of Mountain House instant meals and a couple gallons of water to go off in the woods by ourselves. He wants us each day to come to him and receive from his hand our daily bread. Al Mohler says in his book, The Prayer That Turns the World Upside Down, the word daily here teaches us to train our hearts to depend consistently on God rather than just in times of need. Depend on God consistently, not just in times of need. John MacArthur says in his sermon on this text in Matthew 6, we should pray this prayer at least once a day, acknowledging our dependence on God and giving him thanks. Do you ask God to give you your daily bread each day? Do you look to him? I know I haven't. I've just taken it for granted. I just assume it's gonna be there. And then when there's a big bill that comes up, I'm like, oh, give me my daily bread, I need it. But I haven't been looking to him for the last months until that big need reminds me, oh, I do depend on you. But that's not what he wants. He wants each day for you to see as you live off that last paycheck that is God providing for you. He wants you to know him through that daily provision. Our friends in Spain and other parts of Europe get this, right? They love their daily bread. In Spain, they have these baguettes. They call them like a regular bread. And they're kind of like, you know, maybe this long, and they're kind of lighter bread. And they're just, you know, just like a Subway baguette kind of piece of bread. And they eat those, so many of those every day. People bake them at night. People get on their little motorcycles or their little vans and they drive around and hang them on people's doors to deliver them. Or people line up at the store to get them fresh. Every day they're getting their fresh daily bread. And for breakfast, they're cutting it up and putting butter and jelly on it or ham and cheese for their breakfast. Their mid-morning snack, they're making like a bocadillo, a Subway sandwich with that. Then at their later lunch, which is like 4 o'clock, they're having it in their soup. They're dipping it in there. It's bread 3 times a day and they love it. And they're still skinny because they walk everywhere and it's all a mountain, so it's fine. I would be like, you know, but anyway. It's daily bread in Spain. They love their daily bread. And many cultures are like that. Many parts of the world. God wants us to daily go to him in that relationship. The last part of the verse, it says, our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. That really means necessary bread for each day. He's saying, pray for that which is necessary, that which is needful for your daily sustenance. Pray for what you need. What's included in this request for necessary bread? Certainly your drink as well and your clothing. You can think of shelter, safety, jobs, you know, health, all the things that we need to live daily in God's kingdom, living for him. He wants to provide those things. It's all in his provision. So as we pray for our government, as we pray for our country, for our city, we're thinking about this. God's providing daily bread through all those things. As we pray for other places where people don't have food and drink, we're praying for God to bring about justice in their governments and for God to bring the gospel to them so things can change. We're praying for there to not be greed and a few people holding everything and no one, and other people, everyone else starving to death. God's providing for our daily bread what we need. He cares about that. He wants us to know that he cares. And sometimes he ordains that we lack in some areas, but it's for our blessing. We ask our Father to give us in those areas, and sometimes, like Luke 11:13 says, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He ministers his presence to us in the lack of abundance. He ministers his presence to us in the midst of our physical suffering. This is the way, this is the path that Jesus gives. Daily, thankful dependence on God our Father for what we need. He's teaching us that our God is a good and holy Father who loves to answer the prayers of his people for daily provision. We need to depend on him for the physical as well as the spiritual. And this helps us. We all know we need Christ's help every day to have the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in a way that is worthy of him. But sometimes we don't think about that he wants to be providing all these practical things as well. And when we're depending on him for these things, it helps us to be more connected with him for the other things we need too, like patience and a heart of wanting to see his name made known. So this is his design, that our prayers for daily bread would keep us connected to him closely. What is your praying like? As you pray for physical needs, what is it like? Is it a desperate, anxious prayer over here where like, I don't know, this is a horrible situation, what's gonna happen? Or are you just ignoring praying to God for your physical needs? What is your prayer life like? I encourage you that he wants you to be on this path of daily, prayerful, thankful dependence on him for what you need. Certainly we should pray for him when there's really bad sickness and there's huge job needs. We should pray to him on those situations, but we should also be praying to him for these daily sustenance needs, real dependence on him. We have this tradition of praying before we eat, right? Most of us do that when we're around other people. We haven't always done that when we're not around other people because it's like, well, we just do it so often. It kind of feels like routine, like it doesn't mean very much. This request, give us each day our daily bread, is showing me I need to pray before I eat, but really be thankful. Really realize this is from God's hand. He's providing me. It's good because he's good. He's providing for me in this situation. So I need to trust him and pray to him really when I'm before I eat and while I'm eating. He wants to expand his kingdom through all these different things. And so as you pray for different people's physical and practical needs, think about God's kingdom. How does he want to make his name known through that person's life who doesn't have a job right now? How does he want to make his name known through that person that you love who's ill? How does he want to see his kingdom come and his rule come in people's lives through those difficult situations? And he is giving grace. He's giving sustenance so that that can happen. Remember this path that we talked about in Tenerife? This path that's beautiful and wonderful of thankful daily dependence on God. Well, let's talk for a minute about the two places we can fall off. The one side we can fall off is idolatry. The other part where we can fall off is in just anxiousness, right? So let's talk about both of those. First, the first detour we want to avoid is anxiety. We fall off on the side of being anxious and wondering, where's my bread going to come from? Oh no, what's happening, right? We wonder what's going to happen. How's it going to work out? Well, look at Matthew 6. Dan already read part of it, but I want to read the whole passage there. And I want to point you back to this. Every time you get anxious, I've had moments of anxiousness in my life where I wonder, where is that provision going to come from? And this passage has been so helpful. It's so wonderful to see what Jesus teaches us about God here. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God is showing us he's a good and holy Father. He's devoted to his people. If he cares for these little birds that are worth almost nothing, how much more is he going to care for you? If he cares for lilies in the field, which are clothed better than the wisest man that ever lived, how much more is he going to care for us as children? No matter what you're going through, God is caring for you. He's with you in that. Like Dan, he will not forsake you. He's with you, giving you his own presence, his spirit. Sometimes there's difficulty and thorns. We're all living in a broken world where there's sin. Our bodies are broken and falling apart. The world's systems are broken and falling apart. So we suffer. We're in the wilderness. We're not home yet, right? The ultimate God providing for us will be when we are in the new heavens and new earth and everything is perfect. But right now we can trust his hand that he will provide for us. Remember what Earl Dannon, our pastor, said before he went to heaven. We said this all the time, not just right before he went to heaven, but he said from Psalm 139, God hems us in before and behind. God puts a fence around us. He is our fence. And whatever comes into my life, it came in because God let it in the fence. God ordained it. God brought it in there. And he's with me. Whatever suffering you're facing, whatever lack of job or lack of financial provision or lack of health, whatever situation we're in, you can know that God is with you. And that came into your life through his kind, fatherly provision. And so he wants to make himself known to you through that difficult thing. He wants to provide for you day by day what you need to go through that situation. He wants to sustain you. You can trust him. You can give him thanks. And every time that anxiety pushes you back to him, it's good. You start to feel anxious and you go to him. It pushes you to depend on him in prayer. You get that relationship closer and closer with him as you go to him for thing after thing. He's a good and loving Father, and he wants us to know his peace that passes all understanding, like Philippians 4 says. Then on the other side, we can fall off into greed and pride and idolatry, right? And I feel like this is where I live more often. I take things for granted. We feel like, yeah, I've got this because I'm good at my job, and I've got a nice job, and I got that because I went to school, and I worked hard, and here I am. and I have this money, and I have these savings, and I have this house, and we just think that all this stuff is from us because we did a good job, rather than seeing that it's from God's hand, or we just take it for granted. And I think that that food I'm eating is ultimate, so I always want seconds, because if I could just get more, and whatever I just bought, I want to buy something else. I conquested it on Amazon or at the store or whatever, and now I find the next good thing I can buy, right? There's these pursuits, and we make these things that God gives us ultimate, like they are our savior. We don't say that, but that's how I act. That's how we can act. And so what does he want us to do to stay off of this detour of greed? Give us each day our daily bread. Help us to be content, to look to you, to trust you. Like Matthew 6, 19 through 24 talks about, lay up treasures in heaven. Make our treasure, our pursuit, his kingdom and his will. All that he's given me, all this abundance, it's from him so I can know him through it, so I can serve him with it. It's for his purposes, for his kingdom. 1 Timothy 6 is so helpful. If you want to turn to it, it's really good. Those of us living in Spokane, in America, we have such abundance and such blessing from the country we live in and the time of our history that we're in. 1 Timothy 6 is so instructive for us. It says first in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, how do we avoid that detour of greed? It says, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So he's saying, pursue godliness, pursue contentment. And should we get rid of everything and join a monastic order? No, not necessarily. Look at verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, which includes most of us and not all of us, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Look at Paul's wonderful admonishment and wisdom here. We are, first of all, not to be haughty. If I have all this abundance, it's not just because I'm amazing. It's because God has been gracious and provided it for me. And I shouldn't set my hope on these things. These are not my savior. They're not my hope. They can be gone tomorrow. They're like a grass that vanishes in the wind, right? This is not my hope. My hope is in God, who gives us all these things to enjoy. So if you have an abundance, which we do, enjoy it and give praise to God for it and through it. And then what does he say? Do good, be rich in good works, be generous, ready to share, storing up treasure for ourselves in heaven. Use those resources God's given you for his purposes, for his kingdom, for his work, to love other people. Use your table at your house as a way to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, to bring them in, to love those in the world who don't know Christ yet. Use your resources to see churches planted around our city and in other places around the world that don't have churches. Use it for his good, for his glory. Randy Alcorn in the book, The Treasure Principle, does a great job describing how do you live with wealth and use it to lay up treasure in heaven. God wants us to pray, give us each day our daily bread. And by doing so, we stay on this path of daily thankful dependence, not going off in the detour of idolatry or anxiety. Depend on God daily for your needs. Look at the implications there in your notes. He wants the relationship that we get from daily dependence. Avoid the detours of anxiety or idolatry through daily dependence and thanksgiving. Give thanks to God for his rich provision of our needs. Thankfulness should be what characterizes us as we daily depend on him. Trust in him when there's not a lot of provision. Trust in him. Look to him for the ultimate bread of life, Christ, who meets our greatest need. Jesus teaches us to depend on him for daily bread, and he sets the stage for us to then see him as the bread of life. As he teaches us to depend on him for daily bread, we're prepared to hear him say, I am the bread of life. He gives us our daily needs, and then he shows us that he's the bread of life. The argument from lesser to greater is true here. If God wants to provide for your daily physical needs, how much more does he want to provide for your need to know him? And he has done that through Christ. Through Christ, he provides for our daily needs, as Christ sustains all things by the word of his power. And through Christ, he gives us forgiveness in relationship with him. He gives us salvation. Christ is the bread of life. He changes our hearts and makes us God's children. If you don't know Jesus yet personally, hear this today. He wants you to come to him. He not only wants to provide for your stomach, he wants to provide for your relationship with him by saving you. Bow your knee to him, submit your life to him and say, yes, Jesus, I trust in you that you died for me and rose again. I want you to be my king. He wants you to be his child. Let's take some time now to walk on this path of thankful dependence with our good and holy Father. Take time now. There's some prompts for prayer at the bottom there in your notes. You can pray with someone beside you if you want to. You can pray on your own. Take time now to pray. We'll take a few minutes and just pray, asking God for your daily needs, thanking him for how he's provided for you, asking him to forgive you for taking things for granted or being anxious. Look to him. Praise him for his promises about the future provision in the new heavens and new earth also. So take some moments to pray now. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you for your rich provision to us. You made us from the earth. You made us in your image out of the earth, and you provide for us from the earth. And we look forward to the day when you will reign on the earth, Christ, for 1,000 years and shepherd your people. We look forward to the day when you'll make the new heavens and new earth and we'll forever serve you on the earth in earthly bodies, resurrected, glorified bodies. And we look forward to your rich provision in that time. But right now, we just acknowledge our dependence on you. We need you to provide us each day our daily bread and help us to use it for your name's sake, for your honor, for your kingdom to come through our lives, for your will to be done. We want to worship you and make you known through all that you give us. And God, protect us from forgetting about you. Make us a people who are thankful and who worship you and love you through all that you provide us. Amen.